Let's invite him. Let's just sing hallelujah. I think it's G. That's all. Just hallelujah. It's a chorus. If you don't know it, you'll be able to pick it up. Let's close our eyes. Let's raise our hands. Let's get away. We didn't come here to be in a group of people. We came to fellowship with God in the Spirit. Let us get in the Spirit now. Let's worship him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Think on him now. He's worthy of praise today.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's an invocation, an invitation to praise God. It means praise ye the Lord.
That's right.
It's an announcement. Come and praise the Lord with
yes,
us.
Lord.
And I found out what I heard was true. No matter where you go, that word's the same in every language.
Yes, sir. That's right.
So if you have believers somewhere in China, Japan, wherever it is, they all, hallelujah, they know what that means. And so
Amen.
I think that's pretty good. Amen.
Amen.
So we're glad to be here with so many different ones today. God bless you all. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Glad to see Brother Andrew made it back today, and we're just thankful. You know, I've preached to 3 people before. I've preached to hundreds. I've preached to thousands, but I appreciate this group here. I've heard other people say the same thing. It's like going overseas or something. It's just there's a real desire for God here. My own pastor, he started a church 30 years ago, just a little group, and now he's got a larger group today. It's not about the numbers, but it's about being faithful, and I love
Amen.
To see God take a group and add to it, just like in the book of Acts.
Right.
Maybe just start out in a household and God would add to it. And that's what we're looking for is for God to add to his church. I don't want you to come here today to be entertained, but I want God to add souls to his kingdom through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so that's why we come today, and that's why we preach the gospel. And it is Mother's Day, so God bless all the mothers here today. And many of us have mothers that have gone on to glory and things like that, I'm sure. If nothing else, which should make us who have our mothers here.
Yes.
Hi, Mom. Still appreciate what we have. Amen. So, but we appreciate the grace of God. Matthew chapter 13. I'm just going to start in the first verse, and we'll read a little bit here, if that's all right, just to kind of lay a foundation. I hope you didn't come to hear my words today. I hope you come to hear the word of God. He says here in Matthew chapter 13, it says, the same day he went to Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's just stop here for a moment. We'll have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you now, Lord, as we come together. Lord, I look into the Word, and as I just read, there's a desire for us to hear the Word of God. There's an overcoming power in being able to hear from you. Lord, today I believe that your Word is infallible. It's inspired, Lord, and I believe that we can anchor our souls to this Word. We can, as you said, Lord Jesus, we can build our house not on sinking sand, but on a foundation, because we've heard your Word and we do your Word. That when storms come and trials beset us in life, we have an assurance that you've given us an anchor. You've given us a foundation. And as our brother was just saying a few moments ago, what a precious promise to know that you'll be with us, even in us, until the end of the world. What greater gift could you give than your own presence in our life? Your own power to overcome sin and darkness, to help us in the trials of life, to help us in our time of need. Lord, we come now, as the Apostle Paul said, to approach your throne of grace with boldness, that we might obtain mercy in this time of need. Bless these people here today. Lord, we each have needs. We each come from different walks of life. But Lord, there's only one destination I'm looking to go to. I'm looking to mount up with wings as an eagle and take flight from the things of this world, to know that my life has been hidden with Christ in God. Father, bless the people today, we pray. Give an inspiration and an unction and utterance by your Spirit, and we'll give you all the praise and glory and honor, for we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. God bless you. We're going to keep reading here for just a moment, but go back here to this ninth verse to take my text. And I'd like to speak on this thought this morning. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I want to start by just saying this. When our Lord Jesus says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear, that means that not everybody has an ear to hear.
That's right.
Amen. There's a group of people on the earth today that have ears to hear. That's why they hear. And there's a group of people on the earth today that they might read the same Bible, they might flip the same thing on the radio or whatever it is, they hear the same things, and yet they don't have an ear to hear what is being said. Amen. Just to read down here and just kind of lay a foundation, verse 10. The disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now, this is why. Why are you doing this? Why do you do it this way? He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So again, we see there's a distinction of people being made here. There's a certain group that he's wanting them to understand the mystery, and there's a certain group it's being hidden from. Now watch, he says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. Now watch, they see, yet they're not seeing it. Amen?
It.
So he's distinguishing between just seeing a visual representation and perceiving what is taking place. Again, and hearing, now they hear the audible sound. Hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Why? Now, why are they unable to receive this? It says, for the people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Amen?
Yeah.
So their inability to perceive this is what's keeping them from being converted. Amen? It's what's keeping them from the blessing. But now watch. He says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see.
Yes, Lord.
Amen?
Blessed be your name, Lord.
You know, sometimes we think, well, I don't got a big enough house. I don't have a nice enough car. If your eyes can see, you're blessed.
Amen?
Amen? Well, I don't have enough money in the bank. The Bible says that God has chosen the poor of this world rich in faith. Amen?
Amen.
The rich man, how hardly do the rich enter in the kingdom? They don't think they need God. Their heart is, it's waxed gross. Amen? But you have eyes to see. That makes you blessed.
Yes, sir.
He says here, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Now he declares to them the parable of the sower, and And I'll just go ahead and read if that's all right for a minute here. It says, hear the parable of the sower. One heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Amen. Now he's heard it, but he lacks understanding. Amen. And he understands not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that receives seed by the wayside. Amen. And he says, and he that received it, it says, but he received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy he receiveth it, but he hath not a root in him. He endureth for a while, but when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, amen, not because he went out and made a fool of himself, or he tried to bully people around, or get somebody on his political platform, but because of the word, by and by he's offended. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word. Now there's a group of people like this today. They hear the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Amen? But I praise God, I believe there's another group of people here. He that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. And some bring forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Amen? Yes, now notice, the word is the seed. Amen?
Yes, that's right.
And the seed doesn't change.
That's right.
Amen? It wasn't that the seed that was sown over here was inferior to the other seed,
right.
But it's what kind of ground was the seed being planted on. Amen?
That's right.
Amen?
Right.
Now, there's two different kinds of seed here. Amen? Because now, I'm going to go into this. There's another parable Jesus tells here, and I'll just go ahead and read on for a second, just to lay this out. Another parable put he forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares. Now there's a good seed and a bad seed being sown in this parable, amen?
Yes, sir.
And among the wheat, and he went his way. When the blade sprung up, they brought forth fruit. Then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householders came and said, sir, did not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Now look. He makes it very plain. The enemy did this. I didn't do this.
Right.
Amen. This wasn't my work.
Yes,
an enemy did this.
Right.
And I'm going to move along for the sake of time here. They're like, well, let's go out and rip these tares out. He's like, no, don't do it. Right now, you can't tell the difference. Amen. You can look at a man. You can look at two people on the street, and one of them is a child of God, and one of them is the child of the devil, and you might not be able to tell the difference right now, but God will make a difference. Amen. God will redeem his out of the earth. Is that right? He said, no, wait till the harvest. When the harvest comes, I'll send in the reapers and they'll gather the tares. Amen. Look at what my job to pick the people out. Amen. It's not your job to go and bind the tares up. He'll send angels. He'll send reapers to do it. Is that right? He goes down here, and I'll just go down. He explains the parable to him. In verse 37, it says, he answered, said to them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels.
Right.
As therefore are tares gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be into the end of the world. Amen?
Amen.
The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Amen?
Yes.
So there's a seed that's sown in the first parable. It's the word of God. But now there's two seeds in the second parable, and it's the children of God and the children of the devil. Amen? Now,
right.
I want to read a quote to you here, if I could, out of the Church Age book here before I go on. And he says this, and I want you to think about this for a moment. I was just talking to my dad about this, actually. He says this, he says, the eternal thoughts of God. He says, let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal? Amen?
Yes, sir.
Because now watch. Now, he's expressing thoughts to these people, and the thoughts are hid from some, and they're revealed to others.
Yes, right.
He says, let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal? He says, if you can see this, you'll see many things.
Sure.
God is unchangeable in both his essence and behavior. We've studied and proven that already. God is infinite in his abilities. So therefore, as God, he must be omniscient. Amen? If he is omniscient, then he is not now learning.
That's right.
Nor is he taking counsel even with himself.
Right.
Nor is he at any time adding to his knowledge. If he could add to his knowledge, then he is not omniscient. The best that we could say is that sometime he will be, but that's not scriptural.
That's right.
He is omniscient.
Right.
He never had a new thought about anything because all his thoughts he always had and always will have, and he knows the end from the beginning because he's God. Now he makes a statement, thus the thoughts of God are eternal, they are real.
Amen.
Now that might stagger you for a second, but I just want to explain that to you. I could have a thought about something, and it's just a thought. It's an impulse. Maybe it's a chemical. It reacts a certain way, and your understanding is limited to your thoughts. But when God had a thought, it's different because the mind of God is not the thought of a man. Amen.
Right.
His thoughts are real. In other words, if God had a thought about something, it wasn't an idea that sprung up. It wasn't an opinion that he formulated. Whatever he thought of, let me just say it this way. Whatever he thought about Brother Kent before the foundation of the world, that thought can never change.
Amen.
So whatever he thought about you is real.
Yes.
In other words, you can't change it.
Right.
You can't change his opinion of you. You can't change his assessment of you. If he loved you, he loved you before the foundation of the world. Nothing you can do will make him ever love you more. And nothing you can do will ever make him love you less.
Amen.
Whatever the thought he had, if he thought of you as a son of God, you were always a son of God in his thinking. And that's real. You can't change that. The devil can't change that. Politics can't change that. Nobody can change that. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, I'm persuaded. There's no height. There's no depth. There's no principality. There's no power. There's nothing that can separate us. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about everybody. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Amen. Why? Because he's the one that did it. It was his thought. It was his purpose. And you can't change it. It's real. Amen. Hallelujah. They are not simply like a man with a blueprint that he has drawn up, which one day will be translated into substance and form, but they are already real and eternal and part of God. Amen?
Amen.
The Apostle Paul, I've probably read this before. I'm going to read it again. He makes a statement in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world. Look, this wasn't a man's idea. This wasn't a man's thought. He says, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Now watch what happens to them. Amen? You've got people and they're getting ready for an election. Well, hallelujah. Here we go again. They're getting ready for an election. They're going to vote a certain person in. They're going to fix America. They're going to make it this and they're going to make it that. The princes of this world, their ideas come to naught. And no matter what kind of an idea they feed you, no matter what kind of a presentation they give you, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so the princes of this world, they have ideas. They have wisdom. But it's not the wisdom of God. It comes to nothing. Amen. As we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom God ordained before the world unto our glory. Well, hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. What do you mean our glory? Jesus prayed that the glory that I had with thee, I've given it unto them.
Amen.
Amen. Is that right? That he didn't just keep... Look, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting excited now. Look, this glory that Jesus had, he didn't just keep it to himself, but you are that glory. Amen.
Yes.
Is that well? Hallelujah. You were the reason he died. Look, he didn't die to redeem himself. He didn't pay for his own sins, amen? He paid for yours. Now, the Apostle Paul tells you what is the glory of a man? The woman, his wife. The woman expresses the glory of the man. Now, if the woman in the natural, in the garden, if the woman expressed the glory of the man in the natural, how much more the bride of Jesus Christ? You're not here to express yourself. You're here to express his glory that he's given unto you. Why? Because he redeemed you out of the earth. Not because you were the best of people. Not because you were the greatest of people. He took the lowest and the dirtiest and the filthiest and the most foul, wretched people. And he redeemed them for his glory. And it rests upon you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. My, oh, my. He says, the prince of this world, they didn't know. Had they known, he says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So he hid it for a reason. He hid it for the reason that his purpose could come to pass, not in them, but in you.
Amen.
He hid it for your sakes. Amen.
Yes,
hallelujah. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Amen.
But
oh my.
God hath revealed them unto us. Now look, God already planned these things.
That's right.
Long before Adam made, long before Adam sinned, long before you made a mistake, long before you found yourself at the altar, long before you found yourself where you're at today, there was a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. Is that right? God wasn't sidetracked by the fall. I marvel. People think they're smarter than God. God wasn't sidetracked by your life. God wasn't sidetracked by your mistakes. Amen. He had the whole thing planned out, and despite everything that you did, despite everything that the enemy tried, he had a purpose that you'd be a son or daughter of God. Amen?
Yes,
and he purposed it for you. He has revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit.
Amen.
Now look, he didn't reveal it by an 8-step program. Amen. He didn't reveal it by a seminary course or by some sort of an intellectualism. He reveals it by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man, now think about this. Now he's showing you how this works. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? In other words, dog, you can't relate to a dog. It wants to go bury a bone and scratch itself and do things. It doesn't understand a man because it doesn't have the spirit of a man. Well, now how can you understand God unless you have the Spirit of God? So many people with their own spirit and their own intellect, they try to understand God and they wonder why they make a mess of it. You can't do it any more than the dog could do it with you. Amen. He says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Amen. The Apostle Paul makes a statement. He's talking about they that believe over in Romans chapter 10. He says they've not all obeyed the gospel. Now they all heard it, the different Jews, they all knew what was being said, but they've not obeyed the gospel. He says, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now if you go back and read Isaiah 53, he says, Lord, who's believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Amen. So in other words, God is not just explaining something to you. He's revealing it. Amen. They that believe the report, God is revealing something to them. Amen. This word revelation in the Bible, in the Greek, it's the word, and you hear this word thrown around, apocalypse. People talking about apocalypse, and they're thinking some great thing or this or that. All the word apocalypse means is an unveiling, amen? If you were an artist or a sculptor, and you had prepared a portrait or a sculpture, and you cast a cover over it to hide it, look, you're not pulling the cover off to fashion it. It's already there, amen? You're simply unveiling what has been there the whole time. And so God has prepared something before the foundation of the world. God has prepared a plan, and he's simply revealing it, amen? Now, he's not revealing it to the princes of this world. He's not revealing it to everybody. He's revealing it to his people, amen? Because they have the Spirit of God, amen? Hallelujah. And then he makes the point. He says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I used to read that scripture for years, like a lot of people. So then faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's not what it said.
Nope.
Amen. It says, so faith comes by hearing, but how does hearing come? By the word of God. Amen. So in other words, you can't even hear it unless you are part of the word of God. Amen. Well, hallelujah, I'm going to go there anyway. The Bible says that you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. Look, you didn't believe by yourself even. It was the gift of God. God placed something in you. God allowed you to believe. God placed a representation inside of you, and that's why you believe. He represented you by predestination so that when you heard the word of God, when it wasn't for other people's ears, he gave you an ear to hear. And then he says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Amen. In other words, if you're hearing it, let him hear it. You have to allow it. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, be in you. You have to allow it. Amen. So many times we hear the word of God and we want to resist it, because it's contrary to our thought. It's contrary to our idea. It's contrary to what we were taught. It was contrary to what I pasted together my theology off of some Cracker Jack boxes and some box toppers. And I've got it all figured out. I've talked to people, I don't know where they got their ideas from, some movie or something like that. People have all kinds of ideas. And when the Word of God comes, they hear the Word of God, but you have to let the ear hear. You have to receive it, amen? So many people, they've got too much pride or they got too much ego. Well, I was taught this way. Well, I've got too much reputation in my organization. They'd kick me out, they'd put me out on the street. I can't say I believe that. Oh, hallelujah. Well, my church don't preach the Holy Ghost. My church don't preach prophecy. My church don't preach healing. My church don't preach those things. I don't care what your church preaches. What did God say about it? God said this is for the church. God said this is for his people. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. It's for you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Well, that baptism of the Holy Ghost, that was just for the 12 apostles. Really? Well, Peter came on the day of Pentecost. He said the promise is for you too. It's for you. It's for your children. It's to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Now I want to ask you, is God still calling today? If you've got an ear to hear, God's still calling today. Let him hear. Receive you the Holy Ghost. It's the same power that fell at Pentecost. He's the same today. Jesus Christ is the same, not just in a certain way, not just as a doctrine. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't change. Salvation didn't change. The Holy Ghost didn't change. Men changed. The irony is the more men change, the more they stay the same. The more they come with their own ideas, the more they prove they don't know what they're doing.
That's right.
The more they build up their own Eden, their own ideas, the more they prove they had never had a clue to begin with.
That's right.
Oh my, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, as if you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me for you," word. He says, how that by revelation.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Look, nobody educated Paul into this. Look, Paul didn't even like it when he heard it the first time.
That's right.
Amen. Well, I don't know about all that. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to hold their coats. Let's crucify Stephen. God got a hold of him. And when God taught him this, God didn't say, okay, now here's a PowerPoint. I want you to get this in. I want you to go to school for 4 years. He'd been to school his whole life. Amen. He needed to meet the burning bush that Moses met. That same pillar of fire came down and struck him off his high horse of ecclesiastical learning on the road to Damascus. Said, you know what? You don't know nothing, Paul. But I'm going to teach you. How? By revelation. Amen. Well, we can't receive revelation. Well, you can't receive the mystery. That's what he said. He said, by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And he says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. It is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Amen. How? When you read it, you're going to understand it. How? By revelation. The same way he did. Amen. He prays for the church of Ephesus in the first chapter. And he says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, he says, when I make mention of you in my prayers, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you in my prayers, praying that you would receive what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen.
Yes,
why am I talking about this today? Because I believe this. Maybe you don't agree with me, but I believe that we can never overemphasize the importance of revelation in the life of the believer. Amen. We try so much in our human ability to overcome things as Christians, but revelation is the power. Amen. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that all things are approved when the light is manifest. No? Amen? Your enemy, he's going about like a roaring lion. He's got a kingdom of darkness, but when the light comes, it drives away all the power, all the scariness. Well, I thought the devil had power over my life. I thought the devil had power in my home, but when the light comes, you realize there's nothing to it. He's a bluff, and he's a liar. And you don't even have to defeat him. He was defeated at Calvary. Amen? Hallelujah. When the revelation comes, it destroys the power of Satan. It destroys the power of the enemy. Is that right?
Yes,
the Bible tells us that we have an anointing.
Amen.
Believers have an anointing. And it teaches them all things. Amen. It gives you revelation. Amen. And that anointing, that revelation that it gives you, that anointing, the Bible says, it can break every yoke.
Amen.
Well, I've got this in my life. I've got addiction. I've got problems. There's a power in the spirit of revelation to let you know Jesus Christ has set you free.
Hallelujah.
Well, if I could just overcome this, you don't have to overcome it. He overcame it for you already. Just commit it to God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have an ear to hear, let him hear. Let him receive. You don't have to be bound anymore. He's already paid for your jubilee. You can go free.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my.
Yes, sir.
My God. Satan, he hates revelation.
Oh, yes, he does.
Oh, but we love it.
Amen.
The prophet said this way. He said, with true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Now, where did he get that from?
Amen.
Is that right? My, oh, my. Jesus says this. Matthew, I'll just read it to you. Matthew chapter 16. It says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They had a lot of opinions in his day about who he was. Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some Elijah. Others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but who do ye say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Is it just another guy? Is it just a good teacher? Is he just a good man? Old Simon Peter. I like Simon Peter. He's kind of like me. He just kind of runs his mouth. He just, well, I got it. Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Amen. Flesh and blood. Look, your daddy didn't teach you this. Your synagogue didn't teach you this. Flesh and blood didn't reveal. I didn't even show you.
Amen.
Jesus saying, I didn't have to tell you that. Somebody told you that, but it wasn't me. He says, but your Father, my Father hath what? Revealed.
Yes,
amen. Look, he was already the Christ. But Peter's saying, no, this is the Christ. I didn't make him the Christ. But it was revealed unto him, not by flesh and blood. Look, this guy can't reveal anything to you. Me preaching today, I can't reveal anything to you. But the Spirit of God can reveal to you the mind of Christ. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. That word blessed, I was hearing Brother Wayne Lawson talk about this the other day, but it's a Greek word. It's merikaios. And in the ancient Greek, when somebody said that somebody was merikaios, they didn't say, oh, Brother Andrew, you're merikaios, you're blessed. They didn't do it that way. They didn't come and say, Sister Betty, you're merikaios, you're blessed. You didn't use that about people. You use it about the gods. Right. Well, praise the Lord. The ancient Greeks, when they said merikaios, they were ascribing the nature of deity to what they were talking about. You didn't describe a rich man as merikaios. You didn't describe a believer as merikaios. Amen. In other words, what you were saying in that is that it's the blessing of divinity. You're endowed with the quality of deity. Amen. And so when Jesus is saying, you are blessed, you're merikaios, he's not just saying, well, good for you, Peter. Man, you're just lucky. Man, you're just fortunate. No, he's saying, there's something about you, Peter. God spoke to you and you can hear from God. Not everybody can do that, Peter, but merikaios, you're blessed. You have an ear to hear.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. There's a quality of deity about you that you can hear from God. Amen.
Uh-huh.
My, oh, my. He says, I say to you also that thou art Peter. Petros, is that right? It says, upon this rock, not Petros, this rock, it's a different word, is that right?
Right.
Upon this rock, what? That he revealed it.
Right.
I will build my church. Amen. He's building the church. Is that right? Yeah. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 that he's built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Right.
Over here in Corinthians, it says that it's built no other foundation can a man lay than Jesus Christ. What's he talking about? Not the men. Right? Peter was a Petros. That's why he says, we are lively stones. We're Petros. We're all Petroses. We're stones in a spiritual house. Amen? Not a physical building. The church is not this four-wall building. We are the church. When you go out of this building, you're still the church. You're still the called out. You're the house of God. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? He doesn't, that's why he says, the Most High doesn't dwell in a temple made with hands. A body thou hast prepared me. It's the body of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You are that temple. Hallelujah. That's what he's building. And what's he building on? The revelation. Is that right? Not on the man's flesh. That's why Peter, hallelujah. That's why Paul could say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, wherefore we've known men after the flesh, we don't know any man after the flesh anymore. He says, even though we've known Jesus after the flesh, we don't know him after the flesh anymore. Look, you're not here today because you shook hands with him on the shores of Galilee. I mean, you didn't see him hang on a cross. You didn't see him raise up from the dead with your natural eyes. So how do you know him? By a revelation. It's been revealed to you that he's risen from the dead. I didn't have to talk you into it. Somebody revealed it to you and it wasn't flesh and blood. Look, and if God has revealed it to you, there's no power of the enemy that can take it from you. Look, if I could talk you into believing, another man could talk you out. But God didn't talk you into it. He revealed it to you. And once a real revelation has taken residence in the believer, there's no power of hell that can take it from you. Hallelujah. My, oh, my. This is the foundation. And he said, what? And the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Is that right? Same thing he promised to Abraham. Remember what he promised to Abraham? He said, Abraham, you're going to have a seed. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Paul tells you in Galatians chapter 3, that seed is not many seeds. It's one seed. It's Christ. Is that right? Christ possessed the gate of his enemy. And then he says, and if you put on Christ, if you've been baptized into Christ, ye are Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. Look, that promise isn't just to him now. You are also heirs according to the promise. Amen. Well, Christ overcame, and you overcame with him.
Amen.
Well, he died at Calvary. I died with him.
Right.
Well, he rose at that third day. I rose with him. Amen.
Amen.
When he ascended, above all powers.
Yes.
And the Bible says he made a show of them and spoiled them openly. Look, he didn't leave any room for interpretation. He made sure that he let everybody know, I have defeated every enemy. I have whipped every devil. There's no power outside of my power. There's no ability outside of my ability. Anything the enemy could muster, I have overcome. In so much that the scripture tells us he even took the keys of death and hell. Amen. He's taken every power from the enemy, and he's just a bluff today. His teeth are broken. Satan don't have any power over the believer except you give it to him. Except you give it to him. He'll abide where you let him abide. Amen. But a son or daughter of God that has revelation says that they can say as Jesus that he has a heart with me. Is that right? That's why the Bible says if a man's in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are new. They're all of God. There ain't nothing left there for him to point a finger at because the blood of Jesus Christ. When it's been revealed to you, the blood of Jesus Christ didn't just pay for somebody else's sins, but for my sins. My life. My iniquity. My fault. My failure. He paid for me. Amen. When you can receive it, if you have an ear to hear, it will transform your life. Look, it's not just something to make you feel good. Some of you were trying to make people feel good today. I ain't here to make you feel good. There's power there to transform you. Amen. To take a little seed in the ground and turn it into a life. To turn it into something that God can glorify in it. Yes. Amen. Amen. Oh, my hallelujah. Jesus says this in St. John. Is this all right today? Are we doing okay? Well, hallelujah. I guess I'm going to preach anyway. St. John 6, Jesus says this, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets. It's in Isaiah 54, if you're curious. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, if you can hear, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Amen. 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 Abraham says this in Works as Faith Express. He says, you notice, no man can come except my Father draws him first. All the Father's given me, they will come. He said, they'll recognize it. No other man can do it. No other person, no matter how good he is, who you are, it's got to be revealed to you. Then you see who Jesus Christ is. Amen. Yes, Lord. He says, now the predestinated plan is in plain view. Just as the other seed, now watch, he's talking about the two seeds. Just as the other seed, the word of God, you know, the one that was sown, is a seed that must be planted. It must have ground prepared beforehand. Amen?
Right. Amen.
Like I said at the beginning, the ground is different. Amen. The seed's always the same, but what kind of a ground is it planted on? Determines whether it comes to whether it springs up or not. He says if you sowed seed, just throw it out there on the ground, it would do no good. The birds would just pick it up. You throw it among thistles and thorns, it'll choke out pretty soon. Jesus' parable said so. So the ground has to be made ready first.
Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
Now, I'm not a farmer. I've tried to grow a garden a few years. It's not very. I'm not going to brag. I'm not good at this sort of thing. But I know someone who is. Is that right? So God in sovereign grace, he prepares the heart for. Now, notice who does the preparing. He prepares the heart first. He prepared you before the foundation of the world to receive him in this age. He foreknew you by his foreknowledge and ordained you to eternal life. He knew you, therefore he prepared you. That's the reason you staggered out of these things. I like that. He says, and you staggered into what you have now. It was God leading you to the place where he ordained you to be. I like that, amen. Look, when I got saved, I wasn't paying. I figured out how to get out of this thing. Just strolling around like a big shot. No, I come staggering out of the world, wondering what hit me, what's going on, like a drunk man, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Didn't even have a really good footing. Didn't know what was going on, but it was God that led me out. Sometimes I stagger around, look like I don't know what I'm doing still. I might seem a little wobbly to you. You might say, well, that brother don't got it all together. But God's the one that led me, amen. Oh, holly, I'm thankful. When I stagger around and make mistakes, amen, it's still God's leading. It didn't look like I knew what I was doing at the time. Well, I did it. I had no idea. God had an idea. God had a plan. He said, if I have to drag him out kicking and screaming, I'm going to pluck him like a brand from the fire. But he's mine, and I'm pulling him out. I won't suffer my child. Is that right? Jesus said, my Father, he'll not lose one from his hand. Amen. If the arm of the Lord has been revealed to you, you realize you are in a place God won't lose you. God can't lose you. You're one of his thoughts. And if he loses you, that means he was wrong.
That's
Well, I said they were my son. I said they were my daughter. I said they believe, but they can't make it. I just can't keep it. God don't like it. God's thoughts are real. Amen. If God purposed you to it, it can't fail. You might fail. God can't fail. Let me say that again. You might make a mistake. You might make a mishap. Is that right? But he can't fail. Oh, my. He said it was God leading you to this place that he ordained for you to be. If this ground isn't prepared beforehand, it can't grow. That's the reason the seed of faith, when you're preaching faith, see the discernments of the Lord, see what takes place, all the gifts of the Bible, where people work themselves up. Oh, hallelujah, I believe it. And come up and find themselves disappointed. See, the ground has to be foreordained. And he says this, and you know when it strikes. You know it when it strikes, amen? See, that's the thing. When you have an ear to hear, you recognize. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I said this last time I was here, I think, too. But he didn't say, if you hear my voice, you're my sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Is that right? In other words, you're already my sheep. That's why you can hear my voice. Amen. And they said, the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Is that right? Amen. Look, you don't have to worry about being deceived when you've heard from God.
Yes.
Look, if I didn't hear from God, you'd have to worry about it. Amen. If you're taking your own thought, or a man's thought, or a man's idea, you'd have to be worried about it. But when God reveals it to you by His Spirit, it's in the Word of God that He purposes. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Is that right? You imagine Elijah up there on Mount Carmel having a showdown with 450 prophets of Baal, the Bible talks about. These guys, they were jumping and shouting and praising Baal, having a good old time, cutting themselves, building an altar. Now, if you didn't know that God spoke to you, you'd be like, well, I hope fire don't fall down. I made a challenge. I hope this don't work out. But Elijah, when he rebuilt the altar that evening, when the evening came and he rebuilt the altar, he said, you know what? I didn't do this in the first place. He builds the altar. He lays it down. He has them pour the water on it. He says, now, Lord, he begins his prayer like this. He says, Lord, I've done this at your word. Lord, you said to do this. You said to come up here and challenge these prophets of Baal. You said to rebuild this altar. You said to do all these things. Lord, if I hadn't heard from you, I'd have a whole reason to be scared. But because I've heard from God, I can build this altar. You can dump as much water on it as you want.
Yes, sir.
Well, maybe he hit a match under there. Well, that's why I dumped much water on it. There goes your excuse. You can make all the excuses you want, but I heard from God. When he prayed, fire came down. Is that right? Why? Because God was vindicating His revealed word. Amen?
Yes,
that's the same thing He does today when He vindicates the gospel. He sends the fire of the Holy Ghost to vindicate that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
Exactly. Yes, He does.
Well, I don't believe God does them things anymore. Well, I don't know what to tell you because the devil ain't stopped doing stuff.
That's right. Oh my.
These people, they got a God about this big. Then they got a devil this big. Well, the devil ruined my home. The devil's ruined my church. The devil took my health. The devil this. I'm sick of hearing about the devil. The devil ain't nothing. But he ain't nothing, amen? My God is greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, amen? Well, Holly, I can show you where God put them things in the Bible. I can show you where they're in the church. Show me where
it
took them out. Is that right? Hallelujah. Peter says that we were born of what? An incorruptible seed. Is that right? Even the word of God. Every seed brings forth after its own kind. Is that right? If you're born of the Word, then the Word is in you.
Amen.
And the Word lives in you. Well, if the Word's in you, then how can the Word deny the Word?
That's
it. Is that right? If the one that wrote the Word is in you, how can he deny the Word? Is that right?
Amen.
My, oh my.
Let's drink the Lord.
Jesus said this. I'll just read a couple of scriptures. That's all right here. Is this all right? Am I? Well, praise the Lord. Jesus said this, the Father himself which sent me, John chapter 5, he's borne witness of me. You've not heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you. Now, watch this now. You have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Now, watch. He said, because the word's not in you, that's why you can't hear me.
Yeah.
Amen. Because you're not predestinated to it, that's why you can't hear it. He says, and what is it? It's not that they can't come. He says, but you will not come and have life. Is that right? You refuse to do it.
Right.
My, oh, my.
That's it.
Hallelujah. He says this again in John chapter 10. He says, I told you and you believe not that the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But ye believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. He says, my sheep hear my voice. They know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
That's it.
I won't go back to the sermon and read this again. I'm going to close here in just a few moments, I think. I hope, maybe, possibly. Or we could just preach for another hour or two. He says this. I like how he illustrates it. He said, Moses, he said, with a stick in his hand. He said, he'd come to take people from Pharaoh. He said, now, could you imagine? Here's Moses. The Bible said he was taught in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was smart. He could teach their intellect things. He was taught in all their wisdom. He didn't need to catch up on his education. He says, now, you just think about a man out there in the wilderness with all that education. And then God appearing to him and said, Moses, take this stick in your hand and go down there to Egypt and bring my children out with this switch you got in your hand. Just lick the whole thing with a switch. Now, what if Moses would have said, I lost my spot here. So now what if Moses had said, sir, just a moment. I thought I was talking to an intelligent being, this great I am, that you say you are. Now, how in the world will you ever take this little old crooked stick I got here in my hand and take over an army of million of men armed with spears and fighters? And I'm not a fighter. I'm not a shepherd. How can I ever do that? He said, there was no question.
Right, that's it.
And then when Moses heard that, now Moses made excuses for not wanting to do it, but he never questioned God's ability. Amen. He said, there was no question. Why? Why? He said, the ground in his heart. He was a predestinated person. Gifts and callings are without repentance. God had told Abraham that he would do that and that there was a ground prepared. And Moses took this stick and went down there and he took a nation out of a nation. Amen. Do you see today? Now, and this is what I'm trying to get at. If you can hear it, it's for you. That's why he says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. You don't have to be worried about ever. You know, the thing is, God has not hidden it like I would hide something in a safe. God has hidden it, the Bible says, from the wise and the prudent. And he's revealed it unto babes. Is that right? Where did he hide it? In plain view. That's the best. You know, I tell you what, sometimes the best place to hide something is in plain view. Amen. You look at me and you say, well, there ain't nothing about him. Perfect. God's hidden in plain view. You think, well, he can't even hardly speak English. He ain't got an idea what he's talking about. Well, God knows what he's talking about. Amen. Look, the gospel has nothing to do with you or me. The gospel, it's real. It's alive. Is that right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and salvation. Amen. It don't matter whether it's a donkey carrying Balaam. Is that right? God can speak through anybody. But what is it? Is what's being said true is the thing. Is that right? My, oh, my. Jesus told a bunch of the Jews one day, he said that they asked him, how can we do the works of God?
That's right.
He said, this is the work that you believe on him whom the Father sent. And they said, well, God sent a Moses to us and he gave us a sign. Is that right? Moses gave us bread in the wilderness. What are you going to do for us? He said, yeah, Moses gave your fathers bread in the wilderness and they're all dead. Is that right? Well, my father this, my father that. Well, they're all dead. Is that right? He said, but I'm the true bread that descendeth from heaven.
Amen.
I'm the true bread. If a man eats this bread, he'll never hunger again. Is that right?
Amen.
He said, how can a man say that he's bread? Is that right? He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me.
Amen.
Now, this is a curious thing to me. Because Jesus wasn't preaching to just a multitude. You know who he was preaching to? His own disciples.
That's right.
He'd sent 70 men out to go on the highways and byways. These are men that worked miracles.
Yes, sir.
They had a ministry. They preached the kingdom. They preached all these things for Jesus. And they come back to Jesus, and now he's telling them, you know what? Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you've got no part with me.
Right.
Now, he didn't bother to explain that to them. And they were so staggered by it that the Bible says they walked with him no more. They left him completely. Is that right?
Amen.
And the only people left, there was 12 left. One of them was the devil.
Right.
Is that right? One of them was Judas. Is that right? The child of perdition.
Sure.
But I like Peter. He said, you know, where else are we going to go? Who else has the words of life? Is that right? Look, he didn't understand everything about what Jesus said. That was okay. There was something in him said, I can't walk away from the word. Whether I understand it or not, I have to believe it. I've got nowhere else to go. Look, I might not be able to tell you everything what this Bible says, I might not be able to explain everything, but I know the author. I know the one who wrote it. He's the one that pulled me out of sin. He's the one that pulled me out of darkness. That's the one I'm relying on today. I'm not relying on my ability to understand it all. And Jesus even explains it. He even explains it to him. He's like, look, the words I'm speaking, their spirit in their lives. And that's what you're supposed to partake of. It wasn't his natural flesh. He said, the words I'm speaking, they are spirit and they are life. I did devotions with my kids last night before they went to bed. I read them Proverbs 18:21. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Is that right? There have been men, and they've risen up over the centuries. Men that are great conquerors, men of great charisma, men of great influence. They've risen up. And it wasn't because they were the strongest or the smartest. It's because they had a silver tongue. And their tongue led men to incite rebellion and incite bloodlust and rage and to destroy and to turn against God and to destroy nations. They incited people with an anointing of death on their tongue. One man like Hitler could be so anointed to speak that it could drive a people into a frenzy and even to kill the people of God. You could take a man and so inspire his language to do that. What can God do? You know, we look at what the devil's done, and we get so stirred up about that. And people get so worried, and, oh, we got an election. I hope this person, I hope that, I hope this. It don't matter, amen. My God is greater than those circumstances. I never trusted any of them in the first place. I ain't going to start now. Is that right? Look, Moses, when he went down there, he wasn't relying on his education. Despite the weakness of his body, despite the foolishness of sending an 80-year-old man down to Egypt with a stick, he said, you know what? I believe it anyhow. Amen. You know, it's easy for us to believe God for things that are possible. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I hope I get good grades in school. Well, you might be able to do that without God's help. Some of us need help, but you might be able to do that anyway. It's easy to believe God for things that are possible. When God gives you a commandment, it's completely impossible. And it don't make a lick of sense. Jesus, what am I going to do? That don't even make sense. Can you rely on God then? The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. Is that right? Acknowledge Him in all your ways. He'll direct your path. Is that right? Moses might not have known how this is going to turn out then. But he says, you know what? I was told to go down to Egypt. I'm going to go down to Egypt. I love the book of Hebrews. It talks about Abraham. It said, by faith, by revelation, Abraham sojourned in a strange land. Him and Sarah, it says they went to a strange land, and it says, not knowing where they went.
That's right. That's it.
So I said, didn't know anything about Canaan.
That's right.
We don't know where we're going. We don't know anything about it. But Abraham had an ear to hear. And when he heard that voice, it drew him out of Ur. It drew him out of Samaria. Is that right? He didn't know where he was going, but he knew that he wasn't going back where he came from. He knew he had left what he used to be. I thank God. Amen. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not maybe what I ought to be, but thank God I ain't what I used to be. God has done something in my life. God's done something in your life. He's taken you from where you used to be. You can look back and maybe you stagger out of a minefield of sin and death, not even knowing it was God the whole time leading you through, but you can say, thank God, I'm not back there anymore. God's taken me somewhere else. I might even know where I'm going now. Look, this new heavens and new earth, I don't know what it looks like. But I know it's real.
Amen.
How do you know? It's been revealed.
That's right.
Well, can you show me? Faith is the revelation, is the evidence. It's been revealed to me. Amen.
Yes,
well, how do you know? Because I'm a part of it.
Amen.
Is that right?
Thank the Lord.
Look, I'm a resident already.
That's right.
Amen. I'm a resident already. The Bible says that you're not coming to the mountain that burned with fire. You're coming to a heavenly Jerusalem. Is that right? Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Ooh, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
I go to prepare a place, and if it weren't so, I'd have told you.
Right. That's right.
I like that. He's just as interested in telling you what's not going to happen as what is. Is that right?
Yes, Lord.
Oh, my. I tell you what. God give us some Moses today. I think about this. If God, the quote I just read, he said that he brought a nation out of a nation.
Right.
You think about this. This is a group of slaves.
Yes.
They were nobodies. They didn't have a mighty army. They weren't influential, but they had a father by the name of Abraham.
Yes.
And God made a promise to Abraham. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, the promise that God made to Abraham, he made to him and his seed.
Yes.
You're the same thing. Amen.
Yes.
God took a people who were no people. He took a nation of a nation. He did the same thing with the Gentiles, a people who were no people. They weren't a covenant people. They weren't somebody's. They weren't even in, they looked like they weren't even part of the plan of God, and yet God had planned all along, and he pulled a people out of a people. He made somebody's out of nobody's. God took you in a life of sin. When you weren't after God, you weren't interested in God. You weren't. Well, I made church every, and I do this and I do that and I've done all these things. He didn't get you there. He got you when you were on rock bottom. Amen. That's where he found you at. When you realized, man, I can't get it together at all. That's where he found you at. Is that right? Well, that's where he found me at. Says he won't despise a broken heart or contrite spirit. Look, God's not looking for you to present today your sacrifice like Cain. Well, look what I have done. Well, I labored in the field all year. I made these fruits. Here you go, God. Aren't you impressed with me? No. But Abel offered a different kind of revelation. There was something revealed to him that without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. Something was revealed to him, and he came not in his own ability, but by obedience to the revelation that was given to him. Amen. He had an ear to hear, and he went and obeyed God, and it was accepted in the sight of God.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's why the scriptures, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Right. Man, he wasn't just presuming. He knew something, and that's what gave him the faith to give that offering.
Amen.
Right.
Yes.
My, oh my. Hallelujah.
That's it.
Why? Because it's eternal.
That's right.
Yes. Amen. Yes. The thought of God's eternal. The thought of you is eternal. Is that right? When you realize, when it's revealed to you that eternal thought, that you're one of those thoughts. Amen. When it's revealed to you, there's nothing that can stop that. Amen. There's nothing that can separate you. Amen. Just to think, before there was sin in the world, God had a thought of you. Sinless and virtuous and blameless. God didn't see you all beat up and scarred by sin. God didn't see you deformed by the darkness of this world. God saw you perfect then. God sees you perfect now through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Before there was a fall, you were in the mind of God. And when God restores it all, you'll still be there. Before there was sickness, you were there in the mind of God. Whether you're sick or not today, the mind of God saw you as whole. The mind of God saw you as perfect. And when sickness is gone, you'll remain. When sin is in the world and sin scarred you, but when sin is gone, you'll remain. The devil come to tempt you and toss you and try to put you in bondage. But before the devil was, God had a thought of you. Is that right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What is that? It's the Logos in the Greek. The Logos, the very Word of God. Is that right? That Word of God created all things. The Bible says all things were made by Him, and all things were made for Him, that He might have the preeminence. Look, He didn't make Him for you or you. He made Him for Himself. If you're here today, a son or daughter of God, look, that pleased Him. Well, hallelujah. Man, we thought we were happy about getting saved. Man, it pleased God to do it. Man, the angels rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance. That's what, look, God, it's like I tell people, I said this before, I'll say it again. God's got nothing better to do with His time. God ain't saying, well, I need to get out of here. Man, they're still praying. Well, I got something burning in the oven. I got to do it. God's got nothing better to do. He's got no higher priority than you. You might have to juggle your time. You might have to split your time and your ability. God don't do that. He's got nothing else on the schedule than redemption. He's not saying, well, now if this earth don't pan out and this creation, this redemption don't work, I'll have to come up with another covenant. No, He's not working on something in the back.
Amen.
This is it.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. He's got nothing better to do than to answer your prayer. He's got nothing better to do than to fellowship with you. He's got nothing better to do than let you praise Him. Amen. He's got nothing better. Is that right? That's why He had the thought of you. That's why He could say, Job, where were you, Job? Where were you, Job? Job over here, man, I'm going through all this. I lost my kids. I lost my house. My friends are all telling me I ain't spiritual. Is why? God, why is this going on? God was bragging on you. That's why. Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. There's none like him. He come to Job. Job, where were you, Job?
Amen.
Declare if you have understanding.
Amen.
If you understand, tell me, Job, where were you? When I laid the plummet of the earth, when I stretched out the stars, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Holly, where were you, Job?
Sure.
My, oh my. Job, don't worry, you were there. When all this passes by, you'll still be there. This too shall pass. Before sickness was, I was. In the mind of God. Amen. And when it's gone, I'll remain. I'm not, hallelujah. I'm not affected by the motion of time anymore. God has imparted into us Zoe life. God's own life, that word in the Greek, Zoe, it's His own life. It's eternal life. And eternal is not, it's not some sort of scientific term. The eternal in the Greek means it never began and it never ends. Is that right? It isn't just something that doesn't end, it never began. Now think about that. If you weren't eternal in the first place, you could never be eternal. Is that right? Because that means you had a beginning. But before there was a beginning, there was already an eternal thought of God. And God manifested it in a body called time. Sons and daughters of God. It was His thought.
Amen.
If you're a son or daughter of God, you're His thought today.
Amen.
That's true.
You're not what you think, you're what He thinks.
Amen.
Ooh, I tell you what. And no matter what you think about it, you're still what He thinks.
Amen.
Amen. Revelation has come. Why was the Son of God manifest the first time? To destroy the power of the wicked one. Is that right?
Amen.
Destroy him that has the power of death. That is the devil.
Right.
Why does God give a revelation today? To destroy the power of the devil.
Amen.
Because He has none except what you give Him. Is that right?
Right.
Don't yield, the Bible says, don't yield your members instruments of unrighteousness, but of righteousness.
Yeah.
Don't allow yourself to serve the devil, but hear the voice of God. If you have an ear to hear, it's for you. Is that right?
Amen.
The voice, look, there's, I'll close with this. We can stand to our feet. Look, you can go to a hotel room, lots of places, and there's Bibles. Amen. You can go to the dollar store and get a Bible for a dollar.
That's right.
There's people, they got family heirloom Bibles. Maybe their mom gave it to them, or their dad, or their grand. They've got Bibles that don't save them. Amen.
That's true.
Scripture says there'd be a famine in the last days for the hearing of the word.
That's right.
Now, how do you hear it? By the word of God. Because God purposed it as an eternal thought. That's how you hear it. He declared it. Then the Logos. Is that right?
Amen.
You're predestined. Now, you say, well, I don't know about all that. Well, if you can hear the voice, it's for you. Don't be afraid of it. It's for you. Amen. Hallelujah. We believe today. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today to know that our Lord Jesus Christ has died and risen again. He's risen from the grave that we might have a hope of eternal life. Lord, there are many people today that have a confession of believing, but the Bible says that no man can confess that Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit. Lord, that same Spirit that raised our Lord Jesus from the dead, Father, You've given to Your believers that would also quicken their mortal bodies. That we who were in the bondage of sin and darkness, You might pull us out of those things. Pull us out of our own life, out of our own mistakes, our own shortcomings and failures. Lord, may You pull us out of those things right now, oh God, if there be one here. Maybe they're wrestling today. Maybe they don't know You today. Lord, may they receive the Spirit of Christ. That Spirit's the only power in the world whereby You reveal Your power to save, to heal, to deliver. Lord, today how we need to reveal to hungry hearts that they might be saved, that they might be converted. Lord, may we not trust in the inclinations of a man. May we not trust in a church membership or going to a certain place. May You live in our hearts by faith, by Your Spirit. Lord, how we need the Spirit of God today. Each one of us, if we're believers today, how we still need Your Spirit. Every waking moment, every sleeping moment, how we need the revelation of Your Spirit. Lord, we thank You to have an ear to hear today. Well, Lord, when there's so many ideas on the internet and on TV, so many thoughts and so many ideas, we hear so many different opinions. But to say today we believe the Word of God, whether we understand it all or not, we believe this Word. We're not questioning this Word. We're not wrestling with it. We accept the Word of God is inspired by you. We accept it as the Word of God. We plant it in the ground of a predestinated heart. Lord, may you bring forth the life of Christ. We believe this Word with all our hearts. Lord, take away every doubt. Lord, take away every idea of man. Take away every hindrance. Lord, move us out of the way. Lord, we just want to surrender now our lives to you. Lord, I've made a mess of things maybe in my life. Lord, you come and take this life. Lord, today if there be one here willing to submit themselves to you, Lord, take their life. Take their life and quicken them by the Holy Spirit. Open their eyes to see the revelation that Jesus Christ is alive. Not just as an intellectual idea, not just as a catechism or a thought, but that he's real and that he's alive in the heart of the believer. Lord, help us today, we pray. Lord, how we depend on your grace. How we thank you that you give us ears, oh God. Lord, I'm so thankful today. Lord, you could have chose anybody, but you chose me. I don't know why. I know I don't deserve it, but I'm thankful for it. All I can say is I'm thankful for it, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord. May you show somebody else through me. Show somebody else that you're alive. That you're risen from the dead. That my sins are paid for. That I'm washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, help us today, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother, sing us a song.
My everything, he is my all, he is my everything, both great and small, he gave his life for. supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find it's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Yeah, keep playing that soft this afternoon. Hallelujah. What a presence of the Lord that's here now. If you don't sense the presence of the Lord, I'd be praying, Lord, there must be something wrong with me. Because even walking up here, you know He's here right now. God that we speak about, that we talk about, we've read in stories. He's made Himself known this afternoon. And I tremble for souls in this day. I pray you'd be sensitive to Him. Brother, sister, the reality of it is this won't happen many more times. Oh my. There won't be many more mornings, but what sudden destruction will come to this earth. And all that we've lived in this world will be nothing. It'll be what we invested in the world to come. And I warn, as God's servant, as our brother has spoken boldly to you, you must believe what has been said. If you've had ears to hear what was said, then believe it with all your heart. Don't hear it in your ear, but let it drop into your heart. And say, Father, I'm evaluating myself by the Word, and I'm not living right. I value it by the Word, and I just don't care. Lord, I've never even praised you from my heart. I never even thank you for Calvary. I've just accepted some idea in my head, but when it comes Monday morning, I'll be just like the world. I'll just go on with everything my life, Lord, and I'll fit you in when I can, but that's it. Brother, sister, if that's you, you've never met Him yet. You've met a mental workup, but you've never met the true and living God. If God be God, let Him prove it by fire. He's never failed yet, brother, sister. Why is He holding us here this afternoon? Don't harden your heart now. Don't go looking left or right. You look Jesus right in the eyes. And if you've got condemnation in your heart, you're wrong, brother, sister. Because the blood is the power of God. The blood releases you from sin. The blood can make you walk in the presence of God Almighty and not be a bit afraid. Because you know He ain't looking at you anyways. You know He's looking at the blood that's in you. Oh, hallelujah, brother, sister. Oh, what a presence. What a presence of God. Some people don't even know the Spirit of God means anymore. Oh, praise His holy name. Yield yourself, you Christians. Yield yourself. Say, God, use it. Let the Spirit have preeminence today. Oh, hallelujah. If you want to go, go. Go now. If you don't believe in this, I would highly suggest you go, because you're just going to bring more damnation on yourself. But if you believe it with all your heart, would you raise your hands for a minute to Him? Don't look around. Don't be disrespectful, not to this church, but to Him. And why do we raise our hands, brother, sister? You're surrendering to Him. What a presence of God. Lord, have your way this afternoon, Father. Break every yoke this afternoon in the name of Jesus Christ. Men, lay down your pride and accept the cross. Lay it down. You're not righteous. You're wicked. I'm wicked. Receive His atonement today. Oh God, be born again in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't stand on the fence and watch others get saved. Say, Father, the promise for me as well. Oh, Lord, you can feel His heart. It's reaching out to you, brother, sister. Oh, hallelujah. Do you still got a soft enough heart to hear from God and say, Lord, take me. That's it, sis. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost moving, and it's so quiet you'll never see it, but she knows it. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. If God be God, shouldn't He still discern the hearts? Hallelujah, Jesus. I didn't intend to do this when I came up here, but Lord, You're still here. Oh God, let there be no yokes on the children of God this afternoon. Break it, Lord, by Your word that's gone forth. Hallelujah. Oh God. Oh God. What an age we live in. The darkest of darks, but the lightest of lights. Oh, thank You, Lord Jesus. Now, when he delivers you, brother, sister, you be careful and praise Him with all your heart. Don't let the devil come by and say, oh, that was just a feeling. That was just a coincidence. No, that's the presence of God come by your way. Receive it and watch it manifest. That's where you see miracles. It's when you get through the trial of faith. Where you didn't have fancy feelings, you didn't have this or that. The feelings will follow, trust me. You get free. Nobody got to tell you to praise the Lord no more. Oh, glory to God. Thank the Lord, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Aren't you grateful the great shepherd went after you? When there were 99 doing just fine, but you went astray, and He left them all and found you? Glory to God. Thank the Lord. That's right. That's right. Get free all the way. The violent take it by force. Say, devil, get off my land in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not in your possession. You have no power over me. I'm free in Christ Jesus. I accept the thought of God about myself, not what you're telling me. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, what a presence. Hallelujah. Makes it hard to talk in English sometimes. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. That's not presumptuous, but I believe in order of the church. I shouldn't be up here just speaking in tongues. But you worship in the Spirit now. Worship Him in freedom. Worship Him away from the things of this life. Oh, thank you, Lord. Reach out and touch Him this afternoon, brother, sister. You've heard from heaven. You'll never be no closer until we cross over than you are right now. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, blessed God. You've been so good to us, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. If you have a need on your heart, our brother's made the invitation, but I feel one more time. If you have the slightest need from God in you, you might not. Look, brother, sister, we're a body, one body. We care about one another. We love one another. And you just can't seem to get it. You say, Lord, I believe it, but I can't reach it. Look, we've got promises in the Bible. If two of you agree on any one thing, Jesus promised to do it. And I know my brother Alexander believes this word. I believe it with all my heart. Thank the Lord. If you'd like to come forward, would you come now? Right now, come in faith. Say, Lord, I want free. I want delivered. I want to know that this promise is settled. Just keep on coming. We're going to start praying with these. Keep on coming. Don't be ashamed, brother, sister. Hallelujah. He's not to be
saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.
Let's worship him. Let's praise him today. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, praise his holy name. I just thank God for his presence this afternoon. And hallelujah. Really, at the end of the day, brother, sister, if you just know that you're his,
amen.
And you know who he is, who he is, and you're one of his, you can overcome everything because you know.
Amen.
He loves me so much I can't comprehend how he loves me. And then I know he knows everything, so why wouldn't he do the best for me? And then all of a sudden life don't seem so heavy no more when you realize Jesus is there holding it up for you. Say, I don't know if Jesus loves me. Well, just in case you didn't know, God went ahead and took his hands. When he couldn't hold them up no more for you, he nailed them on a cross. So they could never fall again. He said, he cast his vote for you there, brother, sister.
Amen.
And when he died for you. But when he rose for you.
Amen.
And he's alive forevermore. I just love him so much. I thank the Lord for sending our brother this afternoon. Did you hear from the Lord today? Thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for Brother Alexander coming. Thank the Lord, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. God bless Brother Alex and his family. Amen. Visitors, pray you enjoyed the service. Won't keep you too much longer. Let's just praise the Lord as long as you feel like, and you can be dismissed on this. It's good to be a Christian. Happy Mother's Day again. That's good. Let's sing.
This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong.
That's me.
They are weak.
Yes, Lord.
But he is strong. Oh, yes, it's Jesus.
Aren't you grateful today? Thank you, Lord.
Love you, Lord.
Thank you for loving us.
Yeah.